It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CEO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 19th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. I'm doing wonderful. I'm so excited to talk about the HOH reign of Gino. Can't remember his name.
Yeah.
like Betty.
Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It was day 21 in the house. And hopefully we have no audio issues here using StreamYard. I know that we did it yesterday. So please do be prepared. If we stop, you can't understand us anymore, stay with us. We'll come back eventually, and I promise you won't miss anything. We'll go back and start talking about what we were talking about before. So let's get to it. Let's talk about the day here, because Gino is our HOH, and we have when we updated you yesterday, we did not know who he planned on nominating or what any of the plans of the day or of the week were going to be. We do know now what the plans are, so we'll be able to tell you that. I'm not going to recap what we talked about yesterday, since that was basically the entire update yesterday.
Thanks, Kuya, for taking away our content.
But luckily, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about here. So Gino had been doing one-on-one conversations. He had had one with Herman and with Moose and with Summer and Tanisha and Betty. And so we already kind of covered those. So we're going to kick off with the conversation he has with Kevin, the one that was taking place during the update yesterday. Andrew, the legal representation for Kevin in his full lawyer getup and suit. And he says that, I'm here to represent Kevin, and Kevin wants you to know that, from a place of love, the only people you can trust are Jason Kyle. Everybody but Betty are lying their faces off in this house.
I thought this was such an interesting approach, because, you know, he's including himself in the people that Gino cannot trust. And so I think he's thinking like, look, I'm being upfront with you. They're all lying. They're saying they're not lying. They're not doing all these things. No, I'm telling you that I'm lying, that I am being, I can't remember the word he used, but I thought it was so interesting, especially when he started to talk about how much he needs showmances in this game. I mean, this whole spiel was appealing to Gino. Like, this is what I feel like Gino needs to hear in this moment. But I don't know if it hit like he thought it would hit.
Well, so yeah, I mean, Gino does tell Kevin, you know, I really respect you saying that, because that's how I see it too, that I can only trust Jace and Kyle. So, you know, the fact that you're saying that, I appreciate. Kevin says, okay, real talk. You know, like, my goal in this game is to get to the end, is get as far as possible. Like, that's a win for me, is to just be on the season, the whole season, right? And because I'm a big fan of the show, and I want the show to be exciting, and showmances. Oh, I love showmances. I need a showmance in this house, not only because of the entertainment factor, but also because if there's a showmance in here, then people are going to be looking at you, the showmance, before they look at me, and that's good for me. So I need you here. And he explains that when, you know, in terms of the vote, Jess is really the one that probed him about whether or not he should trust Kyle. And ultimately, he felt like Kyle's offer and the alliances that were being built weren't really real. They weren't genuine. So ultimately, you know, between that and the fact that, like, the momentum in the house was going in one direction, he felt like there was nothing he could do anyway. That's kind of why he went in that direction. And he gives some advice to Gino for, like, how to play as a showmance. He's like, you know, Jace is just kind of like sitting there doing nothing. Like, she should be talking to people and making relationships. Yeah. Like, basically, because Gino was like, I know a showmance puts a target on your back. And Kevin was like, it can be a good thing. You need to, like, get out there and, like, separate relationships so that you can kind of, like, have a whole, like, you know, network of people. You should be talking to more people.
Right. He's like, if I'm not close to Jace and then you're not close to me, then y'all aren't, like, getting out there and talking to enough people, which Kevin does have a point. That's very true. You know, to have those relationships in different areas of the house. I mean, we saw a little bit. I mean, and even Kevin referenced it last season with Jed and Beth and Ty. You know, they didn't just stick to themselves. They still had, they maintained relationships with other people in the house. So I hope that, you know, I hope it resonated with Gino, not just like, this is someone trying to not go on the block, but this is someone who is helping me as a super fan. I wish he would have kept the bit the whole time. I thought that would have been just gold. And I think it for sure would have, I mean, it still might make the show, but, you know, I understand why he felt like he had to drop it just to get everything out.
I think Gino liked the bit too. I think this really overall, like, landed really well with Gino. Kevin also, you know, when Gino asks Kevin if he will be essentially a vote for, will he support him in his target for who, when he decides to nominate somebody, Kevin says, look, I don't want to promise that. You know, at least not until I know who it is, because I've learned my lesson, and hopefully you've learned your lesson, that, like, I already promised to both you and Kyle that I would go your way last time, and then things changed and I didn't. So I don't want to make you a promise that I'm not going to be able to keep. But I'll tell you this, I want to do what you want. I want to be able to go in that direction. So my advice would just be, just put two people up there where both of them you wouldn't mind leaving. That's, if you do that, you can't lose.
Which is, why is that not always the goal? I feel like every time, or especially last week, we saw, like, oh, I really want this person to stay. And we've seen it in years past where the HOH will put up somebody they really don't want to go, the other person they really want to go. It's like, no, put up two people you don't mind going, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the greed aspect of mistake making in Big Brother, right? Where, you know, if you put up two people who you don't mind leaving, and you're essentially like, oh, both of you can go, one of them is definitely going to stay, and now you have somebody that's pissed off at you. So you get this notion that, like, if I take a risk and I put up somebody that will be cool with me after. And so there's one target and one person that's cool with me. Now I really want the target to go, and I want the person that's cool with me to stay. And that's when you start to get into some trouble if it doesn't work.
Yeah, very true.
So Kevin's conversation goes pretty well. Gino's going to meditate with Kyle for a bit. They're going to check in and make sure that they're okay mentally, because Gino can see the difference in Kyle today as opposed to yesterday. No game talk yet. Gino's going to talk with Helena, and I did not think that Helena did a super great job in this conversation. Helena is very nervous. She's also she's opened the door to interrupt other meetings like multiple times at this point to be like, can I go? Are you ready yet? Is it time yet? And Gino keeps having to be like, later, almost. She finally gets an opportunity, and she's clearly got like something going on here, but she's like, I just feel like you do need to trust some people. But you know, like maybe not all. I do understand that, you can't trust everyone because like obviously what just happened, but like sometimes you need to find some people that you can trust. And I don't see you as like super, like I don't see you as with Kyle. Like I don't see you as super attached to Kyle or anything. I see that you're playing your own game. And she's very nervous, and it's very obvious.
Right. And rightfully so. I mean, because which a lot of them do understand the reality of the situation was Gino was probably one of the last people they wanted to win HOH because it was so evident what had happened. The whole house flipped against them. Right. So now they're just like, how do I even come back from this? Like, what do I say to get like to separate myself from the 9 votes? But then it's like, I can't really because it's there. It's in his face. So I think Helena was stuck in a place of just like not having enough time to kind of think through how to approach Gino.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely there's a stark difference in how Kevin approached the conversation, how Helena did. Like Kevin was very confident, had a whole game plan, and Helena kind of crumbles here, but not to the point that she, in some ways, they both worked in different ways, right? Like, Helena is still not going to be looked at as a target by Gino. Because he's, why would he? Like, he still doesn't really see her as a threat, right? So she has that conversation. Gino's also going to talk to Jess. Jess does a pretty good job. They do some things well, some things not well, I felt. Jess is going to say to Gino, like, oh, you can hold my vote against me if you want. I understand if you do. But I do think that there are other people that owed Kyle more than I did. And so like trying to pass the buck a little bit, trying to be like, hey, I'm not the person that stabbed you guys in the back the most. Mm-hmm. But from Kyle and Gino's perspective, like they should have gone on the block and they owe their entire life to them in the game, by not putting them on the block. So saying this, I think is kind of a miss, but they also say, and additionally, there are lots of people in this game that would be happy to see me go up and go home, and lots of people that will be looking to target me. So don't waste your HOH on me. Mm-hmm. Like, don't take that shot for them, when other people are going to do it. And that is a great point that Gino should be listening to.
Right, exactly. And that is a very annoying that Gino and Kyle do feel that way, that Jess should owe their life to them in the game because they didn't go up. Everyone who didn't go on the block didn't go on the block. You know, like it's even though they were in consideration, everyone was in consideration last week with Kyle. So I totally understand Jess's point. But that I think that piece was falling on deaf ears since Gino already feels how he feels.
Yeah, it's just like the last thing you want to do if you betray somebody, you should never be like, but what about the other person that betrayed? They betrayed you worse. Like, that is not what you want to hear when you're betrayed by somebody.
Yeah, there's a lot
Herman is also going to try that with Kyle, and it's just like, this is why would you think this is going to work? Why aren't you more mad at that person? Like, what?
We both did you wrong.
I'm talking to you right now.
We both screwed you over, but don't be mad at me. Be mad at them.
Yeah. And it's again, like, I have to appreciate what Kevin is doing here because he set it up so that he could blame other people. But he's able to avoid being like super blamed himself by just accepting it while still passing the buck. You know, Kevin, again, he talked about Jess being a contributing factor to his betrayal. Wasn't saying, don't be mad at me, be mad at Jess, but he was showing, don't be mad at me, be mad at Jess. Show, don't tell, folks. right.
So. And was it in Helena's conversation with Gino or the night before that Helena said, like, oh, I was approached last minute?
I believe she had told them the night before, and Kyle's mm-hmm. going to bring this up with Herman in their argument.
Right. I don't know. Cool. Big question mark.
Jess does tell Gino that Herman is playing the middle, and Herman is somebody that they would look for as a big threat, as a target for anybody, but certainly for them. So in the meantime, Kyle is going to be having this. It's hard to say argument because, you know, Herman is Herman is the like, OK, so one thing that Marty is doing right throughout the morning. And we talked about this yesterday. Marty is going around like, I'm going to be nominated. I betrayed them. I screwed up. Like if other people are deflecting blame, like way too much, Marty's accepting blame way too much.
Like,
oh my God, it's over. And you know, I'm not going to go in there and try to argue my, I'm not going to go in there and pretend and be fake and all of this stuff. It's just like, it's the classic thing of just like, just refuses to go in and not be genuine about how he feels and everything like that, right? Never ever be this person on Big Brother because there's always reason to try, as Herman is showcasing, right? Herman is the complete opposite of that mentality, of the Marty mentality. Herman is, if Marty is, I will never be fake, I will never, you know, go up there and suck up to the HOH and be different just because they're the HOH. Herman is, I will never not be fake. I will never not suck up to the HOH. I will never get into an argument with somebody if I can help it, and confess my true hateful feelings for them. And that's why this is an argument with a question mark with him and Kyle, because he wants, like, the true self of Herman wants to be in an argument with Kyle and yell at him, but the gamer in him is constantly having him be like, oh, you don't think you were power hungry. I mean, I disagree, but we're working it out. We're hug it out, man. We're going to do this. We're going to be okay. He's always in salesman mode. So that's what's happening here. And he sort of like, he starts the conversation, like apologizing for a confrontation that they had, before, where I think he kind of lost a little bit of his control. And I'm assuming this is, you know, when the feeds were out, and had said some things to Kyle, like, I felt slapped around by, like, as a man by you. And Kyle took offense to that. So they're trying to hash this out.
Yeah. And this is why I think that Herman is such a great player, especially in this season, because if you have Marty in one corner acting as if he deserves to go on the block for what he did, like he may not say it in so many words, but he's acting like, I need to be the one to go on the block because did you see my actions? Like I deserve it. But then Herman understands like, oh, they should be mad at me because I am literally trying to rally all these people together to completely forget about the three alliances I was in with them. And if it, like, you would never know. That's why it's so hard to read Herman, because he's so good at this. It's until we watch the episodes and get a DR, or he's alone and allowed to vent by himself in a room. So I'm really enjoying watching him, but I'm so glad he's doing this because so many people try to act like they're so above being fake in the game. It's like, no, you need to do that.
Yeah. Now, I will say there is a danger to this approach, like most things in Big Brother, right? If you never yell at anybody and you never show how much you dislike people, and you're always like, always nice, always like polite, always all of these things, then sometimes that can come back around and people start thinking, oh, this person is fake. This person is like, how do I know they like me? This person is a player. I don't know where they truly stand. And so sometimes it can be advantageous to be like, no, I'm a human and I have weaknesses and I get annoyed with people as well. And you can see where I stand, right? And so this is what Herman is kind of experiencing in the house right now. And what I'm interested in with Herman is that obviously we don't know if he is the player that, like, without the Kyle HOH would have just run the season with his structure and everything like that. But he's definitely the player that wants to do that and is like, that is his natural inclination. But what we're seeing is him, this kind of player, being thrust into adversity.
Yeah.
That we often don't get to see nowadays. Like, this is like again, not to say that he is a Dan Gysling, but this is what happened to Dan Gysling. Somebody who is very well equipped to just run the table on a season, in both of his seasons, unfortunate circumstances, aka great casting, forced him into, or just really bad luck, forced him into tons of adversity where he was forced to, like, maneuver his way out of it. And that's what makes for the best kinds of seasons, is when really capable players are dealt a really bad hand. And so I'm definitely interested in seeing how Herman is able to step up to the plate in regards to all this adversity. But
hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Herman is going to talk with Kyle. Kyle's like, maybe we're just too similar, Herman. I just, and you know, with all these seeds of doubt that were being planted over and over by somebody I trusted outside the house, Moose, you know, that really caused me to not know who I could bring in on conversations. And, you know, this idea of me being power hungry or whatever is just so misconstrued. Like, the whole point of being an HOH is to figure out who I can trust. And there was just a lot of BS thrown my way. He's basically just still blaming Moose. Still like, dude, you told people you didn't trust him outside the house. Now you're trying to pretend like his connection to you was some kind of secret tunnel into your brain, that poisoned it, and that your HOA train was all Moose's fault.
Yes. He's taking zero accountability, and This is Kyle Moore taking zero accountability. We're going to hear it throughout the day of people saying that Kyle's 23, you know, his brain's not done developing. I'm like, y'all, you would not see this from every 23-year-old. Like, it's not a symptom of being under 25. No, this is Kyle Moore, who has the inability to take accountability for what he did last week. Be on, well, like, at this point, your cards are on the table. Everyone knows who you trust, right? Or in who trusts you. So put your cards on the table to give yourself a little reset, to get yourself moving forward. You know, if he was just honest about, look, I just wanted to make a big move. I wanted to be a legend. Marty told me to put up Josh, or you know, why he wanted to put up Moose. Maybe that would work. But this just continuing to deflect and blame the person who went on the block and had his back against the wall and had to save himself. That's terrible.
Yeah. Kyle throughout the day, like, and maybe this is a symptom of his ally winning HOH and he's still safe this week. But typically that doesn't happen. Usually, like, we get these disastrous HOH reigns. Like, you know, you get a Cindy with an S, even a brief one, but like, she's gone right after. Devin was gone right after. Frenchie was gone right after. Like, usually they go home the next week, and yeah. Usually there's a huge crash where it's like, okay, I screwed up. Yeah. We have a little bit of that with Kyle. Like, he obviously knows that things went wrong, but it's mostly other people's fault, and he's still kind of being Kyle. He is still very much in this mode. Like, he's still talking about chess. He's still questioning people, blaming Moose. Like, it is, if you were looking for like this to bring Kyle back down to earth, back down to the Kyle that we thought was there before he won HOH. The HOH. He drove up a cliff on his HOH. He went into the heavens and he drove just right off the cliff. And now he is not connected to the ground at all anymore. He is floating off into space, and I don't know when he will come back down.
Right. I think we could have possibly seen something different if Gino wasn't the one to win HOH, or even Jace, but I don't know. Who's to tell? Because you wouldn't even think he would be acting like this, even with them as HOH. It's like, yeah, you're not going to be safe forever. But I clued in later in the day when he was just like, okay, so yeah, the move here is we just have to, if I can win every other HOH, I'm good. It's like, are you serious? That's not a game plan.
Yeah. So they continue to rehash it. Herman says that I just felt like I wasn't included in the decision making. And Kyle says, I just feel like you shouldn't have said that you felt slapped around. Herman said, look, I wasn't the only one to flip. Why aren't you mad at Marty? This is what I was talking about. He does that whole thing. Kyle's like, oh, Marty isn't the one that who could influence a whole flip on the vote. And he's like, what are you talking about? I can't influence a flip. And he's like, well, Helena told me that you approached her right before the vote and told her to flip. Herman's like, what do you know? What, you think I could flip a vote like that? He's like, I think you could. Like, don't try to kid me, Herman. And he's like, Kyle, I love you, man. Let's try to work this out. And so they, you know, again, it's a kind of, but not really, but sometimes, but yes, an argument. And, after Kyle leaves, Herman is like, well, still coming for that ass, though.
Yeah.
Is that how you meant to say that?
Yeah, like, even though they just talked, Herman is still going after Kyle.
Yeah.
So he's yeah.
It's just a little bit off to me. he also said during the argument, I don't want to beat a dead dog.
That is not the saying.
Kyle was like, that's a little wrong, actually. Now, I guess not that a horse is much better, but it's like, I think that Herman he tweaks sayings just a little bit sometimes.
he makes it in his own Herman way, which I am usually, you know, like we said, he is the type of player who does, like, he has that inkling to just like want to run the house. But the fact that he's not really able to right now, we're getting to see how likable he is. And he's growing on me every day. Like, honestly, I thought that he was going to be annoying just like the first few days in the house, just because I was like, ugh, a man trying to run the house again. But he is so likable. I find myself going to the feed that he's on. Just because I know it's going to be entertaining somehow, some way.
Once again, I think like this is the best thing that could happen to us, at least in terms of, you know, a player like Herman being kicked out of the place he wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because like if he wasn't, like we probably would be mad at him for making a boring season. But right now it's like, he can't do it. So
true.
They don't call him.
I'm not called Stir the Pot Poppy for no reason.
No reason. Yeah.
Stir the Pot Poppy, Cul-de-sac Poppy. Love it all. It is also good for us that Gino won HOH, because had anyone else won, I don't even know if Jace, if she was going to, you know, flip the script, but you know, we're able to drag out this Kyle thing a little bit longer than we would have if somebody else had won.
Yes. So, Gino is also going to talk to Marty a little bit here. A lot of it's in French, but from our understanding, it's mostly just Marty apologizing for flipping and explaining how much difficulty he had with everything last week, how little sleep he got and all of this stuff. Gino explains to Marty, both in this conversation and in later conversations, that he just really felt betrayed by Marty flipping, to the point where when he heard the vote count, and we got a little bit of this and we talked about this yesterday, that when the vote count came in, we thought, oh, it was funny. That Gino and Jace both thought that they had, that each of them had betrayed the other. And that's from Gino's point of view, at least, because Gino thought, oh, well, obviously Marty is the one that voted with me. So Jace must have flipped. And so when he found out that Marty is the one that flipped, it was like, oh, stabbed to the heart.
Yeah.
And so he felt particularly betrayed by Marty.
If Kevin was the one that Marty was primarily working with to say, like, let's go ahead and keep Josh, why didn't Marty just go ahead and vote Josh out, knowing that there would be enough votes to just cover himself?
So I think there were a couple of reasons, and he did consider it. But one is that he felt like he couldn't keep pretending to the guys that he's not fake. He can't keep up the ruse. Another one is that they weren't sure about what the vote total would be. It was very confusing about like where Herman would go, like what's happening with all these other votes. And I think he also wanted to, you know, to some degree, like, you know, publicly choose a side, like I'm on this side. And, you know, on one hand, this vote is putting Marty in theoretical danger. On the other hand, this vote may be saving Marty this week, right? So like we'll talk about that as we go on. And the reason why is, I guess we'll get to it right now. After the feeds go down for a while, they come back up and Marty has been told he's going up on the block. Marty is going up on the block. We don't know quite yet who the other person is going to be, but we will find out relatively shortly. Before that though, Marty is talking with Helena about how he's going up. And he doesn't know who he's going up next to yet. But they talk about how they're frustrated with Jess, and they talk about how they want to go after Herman. They're just not sure how they could get the numbers, to do it. They wonder if Summer would be with them, if they could get Summer. Marty says, I just can't stand the guy. Helena says, I want him out so bad. And she says she was talking to T the other day, and T was still trying to deny, or the other, I guess, earlier. and T was still trying to, like, she was like, yeah, Herman was in the four person guy alliance. And T was like, no, he wasn't. And she's like, what, the two of them have to be working together. Like, this is no good. We need to take a shot at these people. So Herman is still very much in the line of fire from Helena's perspective, certainly from Jess. Kevin is still looking in that direction. Marty is also looking in this direction. So a lot of people do have eyes on Herman. Even Kyle is going to be trying to convince Gino in this next conversation to target Herman. Luckily, though, Herman did good work with Gino, so Herman is good for now. But something to watch out for Herman moving forward into the coming weeks.
And then hopefully it's a situation where, you know, the Jess approach, where so many people want Herman out. Let somebody else take care of it. Let someone else do your bidding.
We'll see. It didn't exactly work for Jess, because right. As Gino and Kyle go over plans for the week, Gino says, so this is interesting. Gino says that he's kind of expecting Marty to win the veto. he's kind of hoping for Marty to win the veto. He's going to make a big speech when he puts Marty on the block, but it's all for optics. And what he means by optics is that Gino wants to, he wants to Boston Rob this. He wants to send a message to the House that if you're working with him and you betray him, he's not just going to roll over and forgive and forget. That if you're working with Gino, you'd better be with Gino, because if you betray him, he's going to hold a grudge and he's going to target you. And so that's why he's going to put Marty on the block and make a big deal, big speech about it. But he doesn't actually necessarily want Marty to go. He's, I think, hoping that he can reconcile with Marty at some point. And what he's really looking to do is take out somebody like Tanisha or Jess. And those are the two people he's looking at putting up next to Marty, between the two of them.
If I'm in the House and I'm hearing this message that, oh, if I work with you and I betray you, you would put me up. But if I don't work with you at all, you won't put me up. I'll probably stick with that.
I mean, the reason it worked for Boston Rob is that he already had a majority and he was like, if you betray the majority, you're out. but Gino doesn't have anybody yet. He also says that the reason Jess is in the crossfire is that he heard from Kevin that Jess was a lot more involved in the vote flip than they may have thought. So Kevin's plan to sort of, again, you know, have Jess soak up some of the blame for him without explicitly saying, why are you mad at me? Be mad at Jess, is working here for him. And so he's looking at like, okay, if I'm going to focus the optics on who betrayed us the most, it's, you know, Marty and Jess, would go up. But T is an option as well, because T was one of his targets prior to this week. And he still sees T as somebody that is like deeply entrenched in the other side and somebody that would be a good target. And he's really looking at, again, the veto to be used and for T to go up and then T potentially to be the target. So what's interesting about this is that like what Gino wants and what the House wants are weirdly the same a lot, like very closely aligned. But they think that they're very opposed at this moment. And so I'll try to explain that a little bit more later. But, Kyle tells, Gino that Marty told him that Kevin was the one that told him about the cookout theory. So Marty has explained the cookout theory and that it came from Kevin. However, so because of that, Kyle says, I don't think, obviously we didn't have Kevin as much as we thought we did. I think Kevin is also a little more tapped in than we thought, because he doesn't think it necessarily came from Kevin, that this probably came from people like Summer and T. And he thinks that Summer and T are probably a lot more influential than they thought. And he's later going to talk about how he thinks Summer, T and Betty are kind of the core of the other side of the House, and that they had pull over Kevin, because he can't help but see Kevin as sort of like a pawn for somebody else to use. And so he thinks that if Kevin was the one that flipped Marty, then Kevin must have been used by Summer T, Betty, maybe even Herman to some degree, because he sees Herman over there as well.
And that's exactly how Kevin wanted them to see him.
Right.
So it's like it's working.
Very, very Steve like there, mm-hmm. to be able to get away with, doing something and then being like, what is somebody else did this?
Right.
Kyle is also going to try to convince Gino that they can't trust Herman. And Gino says, look, I feel like I have a good read on him. I feel like, I don't feel like it's the time to take a shot. I don't think he'll come for us. Kyle disagrees. He thinks that Herman will target him if he wins HOH. But he will respect what Gino wants. And Gino says, like, I'd really love for you to try to repair things with Herman, have a conversation with him, a ceasefire, so to speak. Kyle's like, I'll try it.
Yeah. And they're kind of cut off on this conversation because they're about to have an HOH lockdown. JC Lynn wants to talk to Gino. And so I wonder if they had more time, what Kyle, like which direction he was going to try to go with, like pressing home that he wanted to break up that quote unquote side of the House by putting up people on that side of the House. Because you know, if you can clearly tell that's his agenda here, But Herman is playing it so well with Gino. It's like, I don't have the beef with you. My beef is with Kyle. I need to work on that with Kyle, which is the correct approach. Don't just group them together, because people will naturally think that, like, just guilty by association. You're so tight with Kyle, so there's nothing I can do with you. So I've been really, I really liked seeing how Herman was able to navigate, like, Gino, you're my bro, because that's what Gino feels. He just doesn't feel that, like, he needs to go after Herman at this point, whereas Kyle feels the total opposite.
Yeah, and Gino has always felt as though the big players in the house should not be going after each other yet. He's always talked about this, that the floaters, the pawns, they should be out first, and the big players should not be taking shots yet. So he was with Kyle for the ride last week, but that then completely backfired. And it, in many ways, that has only further solidified to Gino that these big shots should not be taken. So he wants to take out these smaller players first, and or at least what he deems to be smaller players first. And obviously, Herman is a big player, and that they should not be taking that shot quite yet. Please go down for a little bit more. Gino is eventually going to tell Jess that they are, in fact, going to go up next to Marty. And he tells them that Marty is the target, the intended target, which is not really true. Again, this is kind of a facade by Gino, but a pretty important one, because this house is all about miscommunications. And this week is no different, because the miscommunications are leading to some interesting kinds of things with these nominations, which we'll get into shortly.
Yeah.
So, in the meantime, Kyle's going to have a weird interaction with Helena, where he's like going to interrogate her about his trust being shaken. And she's going to be nervous and say that she was hearing a lot of things. And he says he wants to rebuild trust, and she says she does too. But it's a weird interaction. And she says later to other people that he was interrogating her, and people are like, oh my God, I can't with this guy.
Yeah. It's like he hasn't pivoted to realize, like, you can't have, like, he had a certain air about him while he was HOH. And it was just like, I need you to explain this to me. Where he's continuing to do it, but he's like set up shop in the Expedia. So it's just like, I just feel like he's not talking with them. He's like, He's trying to make it seem like, y'all betrayed me last week, so now we need to figure out how, you know, I can trust you again, because that trust has been broken. And I think, you know, it's partly due to the fact that Gino is HOH. So maybe we'll see something different next week when someone else is HOH. But it's just like, dude, you're not HOH anymore.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Kyle and the house were dating. They were in a relationship. And Kyle was a really, really bad boyfriend. And so the house decided to break up with Kyle. They're like, we're breaking up with you. We're done with this. The house went and started dating other people. And then, they thought that Kyle would be out of their lives forever. But then, they just both happened to move into the same apartment building. And now they have to deal with Kyle all the time. And Kyle is all the time talking to the house about how you betrayed me. I can't believe you cheated on me with these other people. I broke up with you. I'm not cheating on you. You were a bad boyfriend. But he's there and they have to deal with him. So they're like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, let's work on this. Let's try and be cordial. He's like, yeah, but you're going to have to do a lot to make up for the fact that you broke up. Started.
Right. It's like they owe him nothing at this point. Yeah, that's a perfect analogy, because he acts like, look, you owe me something because you broke that. So let's work on repairing that. And they're thinking, well, we have nothing. What are you doing?
And he's like, look, the only reason I was even worried about you in the first place is because of Moose. You were always hanging out with Moose. I don't know why you're always hanging out with Moose all the time. It's like you liked Moose more than me. I don't know.
Right? Yeah, maybe it's just jealousy.
So Gino's going to talk with both Herman and Moose, sort of separately, sort of not, saying again, he wants to rebuild trust with them. And you know, similar conversations happen, just working on these relationships. He wants to, again, work with the big players. Summer and Josh are going to talk. And this is when things get interesting, right? Because Jess had been working to save Josh all week long and was like one of Josh's staunchest supporters. And I said on the roundtable that I was concerned about Jess because despite being a fervent Josh supporter, somebody that was campaigning very hard for Josh, ruining their relationship with the guys that they promised their vote to and all of these things, they were not leveraging that position in any way. They were not leveraging the fact that they were a staunch supporter of Josh in any way, and they weren't getting anything out of it. Marty, on the other hand, spent most of last week campaigning to get Josh on the block, and then at the last second was like, oh, actually, Kyle sucks and I like Josh, so let's go this way. And so you would think that that when Summer and Josh have a conversation, they would both be like, all right, Marty on the block, Jess on the block. Obviously, we should keep Jess around. Marty is a recent convert. We don't know exactly where he stands. He's a messy guy. But no. Not at all, actually. In fact, they are very much on the complete opposite spectrum. How dare he put up Marty? We need to protect Marty. We need to make sure that Marty is safe. There's no way we're going to let him take out Marty. Marty's going to go after the guys for us. Who knows what Jess would do?
What? Jess can't catch a break. Like, they were riding for Josh all last week. Didn't take a break. Like, they were one of the people that, for sure, we knew Jess was voting to keep Josh. Of all the people, everybody who's wavering, Jess was locked in. But now, they're all of a sudden, Jess is unpredictable. We don't know what they're going to do. That is absurd. I think there's more credit. Or I think this is happening because of, like you said, Jess not coming forward and being the one to say, like, this is what I'm doing. It was very casual. It's just like, I'm locked in. I don't need to continue to press home the point, because I can't, it's not like Marty deserves so much credit. He's finessing them. He's like making it seem as if, you know, he was the one to start this flip. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's any credit there? Any credit can be given to Marty for how they see him right now?
I think that you can give a little bit of credit to Marty. I think you also have to get like fault Jess a little bit, not in like a negative way. I mean, like Jess is clearly a person who, like, if they ride for you, they ride for you, and they're a solid mm-hmm. person. But like, you see this in real life all the time. Those kinds of people are taken for granted all the
time.
Because they are just so solidly there. You just kind of like, okay, great. And it's the people that it's a little bit harder to obtain that sometimes you value more. And so I do think that, and you have to be conscious of that in the Big Brother house. You have to be mm-hmm. conscious of the fact that you can't just be like a good, solid friend. You need to be able to make sure that on top of that, that is being reciprocated and that you are getting something out of it, because it's not enough to just be that, especially when you're in Jess's position where like they didn't have that great of a relationship with some of these people in the first place. But yeah, you know, I mean, it was something that I was tracking last week as Jess was doing these things. I was like, I really feel like they need to be doing more to make sure they're leveraging this. And instead they were just trying to be a good friend, and saying things like, you know, I want Josh to stay because of what he represents. And all of that. And that's like very noble, but it didn't do anything for anybody in the house. And it didn't make anybody in the house feel comfortable about where they stood. You know, on the other hand, Marty did put a lot of work in, with Josh, to be like, look, if I'm doing this, I want to be with you. I want to ride with you. This is a big thing for me to do. Obviously, I'm risking a lot here. You know, Jess didn't really even say what they were Jess was also sacrificing a lot to do that. Didn't say a word of it. Which again, noble quality in real life.
Exactly.
In the Big Brother house, it doesn't land very well.
Yeah, I see Jess as that type of friend outside of the house that just will go above and beyond for their friends. They are probably the best kind of friend. They never need anything in return. They'll spend $1,000 for you on your birthday, and then their birthday rolls around and you're like, oh shoot, happy birthday. You forgot to give them a gift. And the love Jess has for their friend is not going to change. Mm-hmm. But that's just not a quality that can get you further in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. So Summer and Josh both agree Marty is the one that they want to keep around. Summer's going to talk with Marty and say, I am definitely voting Jess out. I am with you, Smarty, all the way. And so that's going on. Betty's going to talk with Josh. Betty still thinks they can convince Gino to backdoor Kyle. Betty's still on that train. Kevin is eventually going to tell them, like, it's not happening. Don't even bother. remember when the week started on Thursday night, we said, okay, there is a small chance, a small possibility. There's a slight opening, a slight crack in the door where if the entire house gets together and approaches Gino and says, this is what you need to do. You need to put up Kyle. That maybe something could happen there. I think even if they had attempted that, it would have failed considering Gino's current position. However, it definitely will not work if only a couple of people are doing it.
Right.
Like that is like, look, the entire house would be very pleased if you went and you targeted Kyle, but only Summer and Betty are saying it. Like, oops.
Right.
Doesn't feel like the whole house.
Betty, she's just in her own world. Like I said earlier, when she was talking to Jess, she couldn't even remember that Gino's name was Gino. You know, going back and forth. Wait, is it Gino? Like, girl, you've been in the house for 3 weeks. That's understandable, day two, but it's only 13 of y'all left. So yeah, I'm not surprised that Betty thinks that this is on the table. But yeah, it's not happening.
Yes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So this is the situation we're in, right? Gino doesn't actually want to target Marty. It's all for optics, but he wants a facade to exist that he's targeting Marty. Marty, if the rest of the house knew that he didn't want to target Marty, they might be less inclined to keep Marty, but they want to keep Marty because they think that Gino wants Marty out and that Marty will come shooting back at Gino and Kyle. Mm-hmm. Marty, in the meantime, is definitely upset that he's going up, and we'll talk later about the nomination speech and all of that, but is also to some degree playing up his anger at the guys at Gino and Kyle because he knows that that's going to keep him safe with the rest of the house. He's aware of this, and so he's playing that up. There's a lot of like things that could, again, like Jess is a much more solid ally for most of this house if they are anti-Gino and Kyle, but they don't know that right now. They could find that out theoretically, and this HOH could go the way of the Kyle HOH, and if Marty leaves. But as of right now, everyone is firmly on the side of keeping. There's not a single person who is like, nah, I'd rather Jess stick around. I mean, Betty was like, it would suck to lose Jess, but
that's, you know, it.
Yeah.
It would suck for them to go, but
yeah, like wasn't even saying like I'm gonna go out of my way to campaign for them, right?
Yeah, I was confused about this move from Gino because I actually understand Kyle's point. Obviously, if there were 9 votes, you would want to break up how that happened rather than focusing on just who you feel the most betrayed by. But Gino has no intention of Marty going home. Does Marty know this? Like, does Marty know, like, okay, like now you're on the block. We need to reset. Like, let's hope you win the veto. I didn't see any type of conversation like that happen.
So we do get the nominations. The nomination ceremony happens. And so this is kind of, again, like important, like the big speech that Gino makes,
right,
is something along the lines of like, you know, Marty, you went against your word and I know that you care about how Canada perceives you and, you know, all of this stuff. And again, the point was for optics, but Marty is genuinely upset by what he said, because I think he does care about what Canada thinks and he does feel bad that he betrayed his word. Remember, this is the guy that Kyle on night one of the feed said, Marty is the guy that would cut his arm off before he turned on you. That's what it feels like. It feels like Marty cut his arm off and was like, it's still not enough. I'm just going to have to turn. And he hates it. And Gino knew exactly where to probe that to make it hurt. And so he's very upset by this. And he's talking to the cameras, recognizing I need to show the house that I'm gunning for Kyle and Gino. But at the same time, there's also a tiebreaker this week. And he doesn't want to piss off the guys so much that they break the tie against him. And so he's kind of torn in that direction. Let's see, he does, Gino does talk to Kyle about, basically, again, if he kind of even wants the veto to be used. And if it is used, then Tanisha will go up and would likely be the target, if that were the case. So that's sort of the game plan right now, is that, T is, still in a lot of danger. She doesn't quite know it yet. But and nobody does, because nobody knows this plan. But a lot of people are still looking to get T out. So they would all be very happy if this were to happen.
Enough people to vote her out, really, over Jess?
Let's see. It would be 5 votes plus a tiebreaker. I think that Marty, Kevin, Helena, Jace, Kyle is 5 right there. So, you know, even if you had like, Herman, Moose, Summer, Betty, and who am I missing? There's one more vote.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Moose. No, you said Moose, Betty.
I said Moose. Herman. Now I feel like Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of who you're missing.
Josh.
Yes.
But
yes,
Josh,
yes,
would, yes, probably be with Marty and Kevin, to be honest.
You don't think Josh would keep T?
Josh is like, I don't know. He's not the most, like, he's pretty anti Herman, and they really feel like Herman is with T. So I don't know. I don't really know exactly where. I mean, obviously, yeah, he's very close to Summer too. So he could find himself a little torn, but that would definitely be an interesting vote.
Right. Like, I'm thinking of that, like this little alliance,
the true fuse.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking that, you know, if it were a situation where T was on the block, that, you know, Summer will really try to keep T, and then Herman, I feel like they would put more effort into making sure that this is a thing, to make sure that they're using that to go forward. Because even outside of that, with Marty, if Marty never finds out that Gino just did this to prove a point, then I feel like Marty would want to do what Gino didn't want to do if T is the apparent target.
Yeah, I mean, Gino has already told him, like, that speech was for optics. Like, you know, I hope that, like, you know, you didn't take it too personally. I meant it.
Oh, that was
I
that conversation to her. This morning.
Right? Yeah, that was this morning. Yeah. But, you know, it's still unclear where that relationship is going to go exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think this is probably the most interesting direction. Although, you know, Marty staying on the block could be interesting if certain information comes to light. You could see a flip happening. But in terms of, like, just straight up, where do people's interests lie? If Tanisha ends up on the block, I do think we would see an interesting battle between where things go. Because it also could help, like, if Tanisha stays, it could really help Tanisha's game because it could clarify where she stands.
Yeah.
Part of the problem, like, you probably are thinking, why does everyone want to target Tanisha? Like, what has she ever done? Like, why does nobody trust her? It's because she barely plays the game. She barely talks game with anybody other than Summer. And because of that, people think that she's doing all kinds of things that she's not doing. There's no reason to be that. I mean, she's the one accurate thing about why people want to target Tanisha is that she is currently entrenched in the power structure because of her connection to Summer. But Summer is the real threat that nobody does see, because Summer does, this is the thing, Summer actively goes out and talks game with everyone. She's a much more active player, much more dangerous in the game. Tanisha talks game with Summer, with like a little bit of game with some other people, mostly just has personal relationships and is mostly just chilling in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone sees Tanisha as a massive threat and Summer as like, nah, she's with Tanisha. And it's like, why? Because people feel comfortable when they're talked to. And there's always this like assumption that, like, you know, oh man, I'll go in, I'll lie low and I won't talk game too much. Like, no, you need to talk enough game. As long as you're not doing it like you're Kyle Moore, like, do it like you're Summer and people will feel good about you. You know, and certainly some people, you know, are especially more and more now seeing that Summer is also a dangerous player, but they see Tanisha as the more connected, the person that's closer with Herman, who is also very dangerous. And so a lot of people are, so in some ways, if she survives a nomination, I think that being nominated could help Tanisha because it would help force her to have conversations with people where she will then clarify where she actually stands.
Yeah. I mean, because even with Gino's questions to Tanisha before noms happen, I mean, she couldn't. She was more nervous than Helena. And then it burst into, I feel like she probably wouldn't have burst into tears as quickly about the, like, why do you deserve to be here question. But she did because it was just the nerves and it was just like, look, I can just release this through these tears and explain how I want this for my family. But yeah, I think even if they start, like, let's say T doesn't go this week, but even if they start to see Summer's position, they'll still want to go after T just to get rid of a number for Summer, because they talk to Summer.
So Gino is going to talk with Summer. I thought this was funny because I did, when we talked yesterday about Summer's meeting with Gino and how she was very blatantly like pushing certain things. I was like, I feel like she was not subtle about that and it did not land very well. He says, yeah, I really didn't like how some people handled the HOH meetings. A lot of people were trying to tell me what to do. He was like, oh, did I do that? And he's like, yeah.
I appreciate the honesty.
Kyle and Herman are going to have their ceasefire talk that Gino wanted him to have. Kyle apologizes some more. Herman was like, that was surprising.
Yeah. Goes into a room by himself, talks to the camera. I was not expecting an apology from that guy.
You know, it doesn't really change much. Josh is going to talk to Marty and promise him his vote. So, you know, that's locking in. Sorry, Jess.
Poor Jess. That's why I'm so excited to see this veto outcome, because if it continues to trend like it has been, one of them win, you know, especially if it's Jess, then, you know, it's hard to, like, Gino has already pressed home that Marty is the target. And then if he tries to put up T and is like, now T's the target, then people are like, wait, So what happened with Marty? Because this shouldn't change anything if he was your target in the first place. So I'll be interested to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. Josh is going to talk with Kevin. They both agree they'd rather work with Marty than Jess. He just like works with them better. Marty is going to have an interaction with Kyle in the kitchen, where he's just like, dude, you got to give me space because I don't want to blow up. So just leave me alone.
You don't have anything nice to say. Don't say anything at all. So this was better than like actually trying to go off on Kyle. He maintained his composure.
Kevin and Helena have a brief interaction where Helena says T is running things. And Kevin's like, yes. And Kevin says, look, I know that he's very annoying, but we might want to think about keeping Kyle around for a little while because he really throws people off their game. And I think it's useful for us.
It's like, yeah, until it was like that period of time in the afternoon yesterday when he was just going around and trying to talk to anybody who would listen. And it's just exhausting. Like if you look at like there's a moment when he's talking to Lena, you just look at just her face. It's exhausting, you know? So I feel like everyone's going to have their breaking point at some point, but I could see the point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it harkens back to what I was talking about with Helena in either the Wednesday or Thursday episode where she was talking about, how she hated Kyle's HOH reign for her game that, and I was like, what are you talking about? It's a massive opportunity. You just found out that you were excluded from a majority alliance and you're saying this is bad for you. That alliance has been blown up. And that was like concerning to me. And I feel like we are seeing now, some of the results of that. Like ultimately it seems as though like this is just not like Helena's just not built for this opportunity. Like, her strengths lie in what she was doing before and she doesn't want to move on from that. She doesn't want to develop it into something bigger. She just wants to maintain that level of like, I'm good with everyone. Everyone sees me as a little sister and, nobody's looking at me. The problem with that game is that it only goes so far before you have to turn it into something else. And she's struggling with, even though she now has more opportunity, she's struggling with like how to operate in this world. Whereas Kevin is thriving. Kevin is like, perfect. This is exactly what I was looking for. Chaos is a ladder and Kyle is my ladder. So he's in. He's like, let's go. Let's ride. Let's climb Kevin all the way to the top. Or sorry, climb Kyle all the way to the top.
Yeah, that the way that Helena is playing reminds me a lot of Hannah Chadha from BB23. Of just like how she was playing the game at first before being pulled into the cookout, before starting to talk a little bit more strategy. Cause of course people can like you as a little sister, but that's not enough to invite you out to the shopping trip. Like, okay, you can say, I enjoy being around you at home, but I'm not going to bring you out when it's time to actually do things. So I hope she does have a wake up call, but I don't know what could happen. I don't know if it's going to have to be a nomination or someone she really cares about is on the block for her to start seeing that, okay, you need to step outside of that role and actually start making some things happen.
Mm-hmm. So Kyle talks to Jace about, and this is what I kind of referred to this before, he thinks that T, Summer, and Betty are kind of the core of the power in the game, and that they are people that they should be looking at. And so, again, like this idea that they might target T with a veto is definitely a big looming reality here. Man, Jace is just still barely doing anything. What a disappointment.
She just has a great showmance going on right now. And that's it.
I mean, I really, because I do think we saw promise in Jace in the first week and then on the feeds at least. Then when Kyle won HOH, she just kind of retreated into the group. And I was like, maybe once she's blindsided by the house, that's the wake-up call that she needed. It's so weird that her best week was when she was on the block. That's the case with a couple of people. Like Betty's best week was when she thought she was going on the block. Jace's best week was when she was on the block. But man, this was wake up call. She hit the snooze button because,
yeah, I was literally about to say that she hit this as soon as Gino won, she hit the snooze button and went back to sleep.
So that's where we are. Anything else you wanted to bring up from yesterday, Asia?
No, I enjoyed a lot of the random moments, which usually I'm not a huge fan on the feeds. Like if nothing happening, usually I can go do something else, but I enjoy just their everyday, just random chatter. You know, we barely talked about Moose. So I think that, you know, he did a great job with Gino when they were having that conversation her mom was just dancing in the background. Yep. They weren't distracted by that at all, but it was entertaining to watch at least.
Yeah. Separately, but not really. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And I will say that, you know, usually in Big Brother, we see a lot in Big Brother US is that the house will pick a person to ostracize and a person to target and everybody's talking about that person. And, you know, in this season, it just on the outside looking in, it feels like, oh, that's Kyle. But it's like he's doing it to himself. So it's not really like unwarranted that everyone feels this way. I'm just glad that people aren't just, you know, the conversations they're having about Kyle aren't for no reason. They're all just like, definitely not what's deserved, but they're accurate accounts of the conversations that they're having with Kyle. So I don't know. We'll see. I am glad that we do get to continue to see what shakes out from this of like the aftermath of last week. And it's not just typically what we see, like you talked about, like Kyle goes home and then we just see what else happens. But yeah, good day on the feeds.
Good day indeed. So we should have a veto competition today, and this will lock in what the results of the nominations will ultimately be. I don't know if Gino is as prone to changing his mind as Kyle. It certainly seems like that is not the case so far. So I think we can expect that if the veto is used, that Tanisha goes on the block. Moose is somebody that, Gino did mention that he had been planning on nominating Moose before everything else went down because of all of the Kyle stuff. But he has decided not to because of the Kyle stuff. And that Tanisha would be the option ahead of Moose. It was Moose and T would be the two people he nominated. Now it's just T as the backup option or the veto option. So theoretically, Moose could still be in the conversation if the veto is won and things change from now until Monday. But much more likely is T is the replacement. If T goes on the block next to Marty, that could be interesting. If T goes on the block next to Jess, I think that could also be interesting. So, and then again, even just Marty versus Jess, Marty having to toe that line between I'm targeting the guys and the guys actually want me to stay. Could be interesting as well. So hopefully we see some interesting stuff here for the rest of the week. But again, it's another week where, like, you know, this pressure of Kyle being in the house and not being targeted is preventing anything from really coming together and forming. And in the meantime, yeah. It's really like, I mean, Kevin's talking about thriving, or I'm talking about Kevin thriving. Kevin is really thriving in this situation where, like, you know, this is the anti-Herman layout, right? Like his kind of gameplay requires nice, big, boring structures. and Kevin is just like, look at all these people who normally would be like chilling with the popular kids and just having a summer camp. And now they're all like, looking at each other, they're like not trusting each other, and it's giving me so much room to move. And he is developing relationships. He's in with Josh and with Marty and with Helena and with Summer, and he's working. It's interesting. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Kevin, that he's taking advantage of this, or he's capitalizing on the opportunity, really. So it'll be interesting to see. maybe not, I guess not once Kyle is gone, what happens, but just after this week, just kind of where Kevin can position himself, because he's kind of in a good place with most people right now. No one's saying, oh, I have to get Kevin out. Like, Kevin is my number one person to put on the block. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. Thank you so much for joining us. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. We'll see. We'll talk about who won the veto and if the plans are indeed the same to either replace somebody with Tanisha or if the nominations will be left intact. And then we'll also see what the plans for the eviction vote still are or if they have changed. So lots of stuff to cover tomorrow morning. And then, of course, on Monday, we will have our next episode, which I am pretty sure this time is at 7 p.m. Eastern and not 8 p.m. Eastern, because I think they're changing it now. But, you know, I'm not going to say it for sure because I keep getting it wrong because I don't understand when it's changing or why. But at some point, there'll be an episode on Monday. And after that episode, we will be live talking about it. So get just ready always, for that.
Just always keep your entire evening open because you never know.
Yeah.
Come on at 9 Eastern on a Monday.
And I will, of course, be live on Twitch watching the episodes with all of you. Twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will also be live tomorrow playing some Goose Goose Duck if you want to hang out with us playing that. Find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Check out the Raised by Wolves coverage, the Nothing But Netflix. Check out the Taryn Show with Tyson, all of that good stuff. Asia, what are you up to?
Yeah, so y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A, to see what I'm up to. Go subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed where I talk about Married at First Sight with the awesome Jason Reed, and I talk about Love is Blind with Mary Kukowski. And so, you know, I know season 2 of Love is Blind is wrapped up, but there is some more coverage coming your way. So if you subscribe to the feed, you'll know what's coming. I joined Mike and Liana and Mary on the Survivor B&B last week. So we had a great time doing that. I joined Taryn on the Wednesday BB Canada recap, as well as the Survivor Stock Watch. So I had a great time doing that as well. And then, yeah, some more podcasts coming your way next week. So just follow me on Twitter and you'll find out what I'm doing.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us once again. And I will see you all next time.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.